Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful, here with a name you know. Got a big show coming up this week. MLW One Shot, Queens, New York, the Melrose Ballroom. It's going to be on Fight Plus as well. And as, right out of the gate, I'll just say, you're welcome for the Fight Plus house, Court Bauer. How you doing?
Hey, we're pumped, man. Yeah, we got the show tomorrow. Our first show on a Thursday, live from New York City. On Fight Plus, we're really pumped. Melrose has been a big part of MLW, especially the revival of it. Once we left Florida, New York was our first destination, and that's where we introduced the first Battle Riot, which Tom Lawler won. So, yeah, there's a lot of history in that building for MLW. I think we were the first ones ever run wrestling there, believe it or not.
So this is a conversation I've actually had with some people in OVW about the benefits of running Thursdays. Because if you're running Friday, you're running Saturday, you're running Sunday, you run into a lot of travel issues, logistics issues, booking issues with a whole lot of talent. Thursday, there's pretty wide open schedules there for Thursday for talent, for travel, for a lot of things like that. And also, the talent are like, hell yeah, I can work the weekend as well. Like, it seems to be a benefit. I know it's a big benefit of AEW running Wednesday as well, when they have talent that isn't signed. Is that something that you're experiencing, or what are some of the maybe benefits and detriments of running a Thursday?
We used to, for the first like year in MLW, we ran Thursdays in Orlando, and it worked great for us. We would do production the day prior, the day after. It is a lot calmer when you're in the middle of a Saturday show. Like, if your show's on a Saturday in the middle of the weekend, you got people coming from other destinations. They're going somewhere on Sunday. You're like at the eye of the hurricane. And so you're like, oh no, that guy's stuck on the other coast. We need him over here. How are we going to figure this out? And often you spend an insane amount of money to figure out, because money solves problems like that. But there's a lot of upside to running Thursdays from where we stand. And we've been, like, right now we're kind of in the process of beginning to overhaul our talent relations division and just bring in some new, fresh minds. And it's from top to bottom. I'm just going to mix it up. But when you look at that, I want to really look at this first day on the job. What really would be interesting and work for us as we go forward into 24? And one of the things we look at is, well, if we run a Thursday more, the upside is that then like Arena Mexico talent is a bit more readily available because CMLL, I should say, Arena Mexico, one and the same. Their biggest show of the week typically is Arena Mexico. So Friday is at a very important date. But Thursday, you know, there's opportunity. There also is Saturdays, but, you know, I think there's a lot of upside to Thursdays. And, you know, when you think about running Saturdays, you know, the challenge is you're running sometimes against multiple premium live events. The UFC, it's free product out there on Saturdays now, which used to be a pretty dead zone like, you know, 3-4 years ago. But so much has changed in the business over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years that, you know, the established pay-per-view premium live event date was Sundays. Now it's shifted. And now everyone wants a piece of that. So, you know, again, as I look at 24, it's first day on the job. Everything's changed. What once worked won't be able to work going forward. And that's kind of part of my kind of my marching orders for our team and the company into 24 is like first day on the job, fresh approach to everything.
So, I mean, there's so much to talk about. MLW One Shot, in addition to what's going on there, I got to say, I've loved the World Titan Federation integration. Yeah. I've loved that. It's very clear what that is. And I mean, the WWF influence, or maybe even the shot there, but the WTF, and there are guys that look like they are picked out of 1993 or 1992, like really muscular guys that are involved in this. I mean, you got an active lawsuit against WWE, so I know that you're limited in maybe what some of what you can say, but how did this come about, and maybe what were some of the motivations behind that? Because, like, I love the integration of Josh Bishop, who shoved smelling salts in my face the other day.
Oh, well, hopefully it was something you had asked for and not just shoved in your face.
Absolutely not. No, he was like, "Hey, brother, try this." And I was like, "What?"
Okay. Well, I'm glad it was that intense. Today, the day before One Shot. So I'm staying away from that guy. He's a maniac.
Get away from him.
I would say, you know, I have a tendency, you know, to book pretty heavy heat, whether it was Contra or Selena Promotions Dorado. I get, you know, a lot of the people that influenced me really booked heavy, hard heat. And so I wanted to do something where we had a heel presence that was more of the Bobby the Brain Heenan elk, which isn't really, you know, people talk about how great Heenan was as a performer, but what you see, what he gave to, whether it was WWF or AWA or he brought a certain quality to those organizations, to, for those bookers, those matchmakers, that, you know, it was different type of heat. It was different, you know, a Ric Flair type of heel is so different than a Brock Lesnar type of heel. Right. And so I wanted a different kind of feel for that heat, just to give fans something. Sometimes it's a little bit of levity with those kind of heels where there's a little wink and you're amused, but then they do something dastardly and sinister that you'd hate them for. And that's just so different than a lot of the heat we've been doing in MLW for a few years, whether it's Contra or The Calling. This is just something that feels like, you know, fun and but different. And I also think you look at wrestling, especially you look on social media, go to the shows, how many people are wearing a lot of retro-esque stuff, you know, and I think there's a quality of nostalgia, absolutely, and it's kind of, you know, some people might think, you know, you're poking someone, but it's also kind of a celebration of what I loved as a child, that a lot of us loved as kids. And, you know, I think about different things where you feel that retro quality in wrestling, and it's that nostalgic thing is a feel-good thing. But how do you deal with that, a feeling passe, and you're just, you know, dragging the old guys out? And you know there's a limited shelf life to them when you trot them out, and they can't do much, and often they're divas. So how do you take that, spin it up, and bring it into the present day and work with today's talent and future talent? And that's what I hope to accomplish with the WTF.
The Hammerstone thing has been something that has also been integrated with WTF. How are things with him now? I mean, even in my conversations with him, it didn't seem like there was anything particularly personal towards you or MLW, and he recognized the impact that MLW had on his career. But I mean, obviously not ideal the way that things unfolded.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at those kind of things, every organization has challenges that come up with talent. And, you know, in and I look at Hammer and his tenure in MLW, and he, you know, he was the franchise guy for 4 or 5 years, basically lost one or two matches that whole time. That tells you, you know, where we had him in our system. And, you know, you get those challenges, you get those bumps in the road, you think they're, you can't repair those issues. And then, you know, you have a cooling off period. You try to look at this again. I'm right now approaching 24, just fresh first day on the job approach. The last two years, I've been, you know, frankly, away from wrestling operations, doing a lot with his lawsuit, which is an excuse. It's just, there's only so much time of the day. And it's, you know, because of that, you know, things happen. And I definitely take responsibility for that. But then it's on me to go in there and we try to fix things along with my team. And so, you know, with Hammerstone, I really feel that it was important that, you know, this relationship be repaired and restored to a way where there's not that animosity. And it, and we've had those discussions, and I think we've reconciled. And, you know, he's been a very strong presence in the company. So, you know, going forward, you know, I think, you know, it's going to be a positive thing. But, you know, look, CM Punk's a great example of that. I don't think anyone thought, you know, there were some real bad feelings with WWE. Never thought he'd probably come back. Then he's back. That's the beauty of wrestling. Like, you can have a lot of that happen. But I think when there's opportunity to do business and sometimes pass, or you're really ready to explore a solution that works for both sides, then there's waters under the bridge, you know, and Hammer was man enough to do that. And I think we both are grateful for that.
And I mean, we've seen a couple people in Selena De La Renta and Mance Warner both pop back up in MLW. Mm-hmm. So it seems like keeping those things amicable seems important to you. I even joked with Richard Holiday during a recent interview, and he's like, I was like, do you want to bury them? And he goes, yes, I would love to bury them. And that would be completely inaccurate because it was totally amicable. No.
Redo this. No, you're going to kill my gimmick here. No. I think, these from our end, and, you know, the promoter and the ego of a promoter and the talent and their pride and their goals, and everyone has goals, and you want them to all align. That sounds great. In reality, that shit doesn't happen as often as you want it to. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, look at MJF and Holiday, you know, they left. It was a great send off. And then there's times when it gets a little funky. And I think every organization, you know, has it. You try to learn from the good and the bad that those situations present. And then you want to have, you know, these people had contributed to the company, they have a place in their heart for that company, hopefully, because it was a part of their journey. And so you want to have, you know, that good karma, that good energy. Does that always happen? No. Sometimes there's just nothing I can do, or, you know, sometimes you just have a raving asshole on the other side and you try and it's like, look, it's just not going to happen. Other times it's just like, look, there's some complications. Let's get through this. And it's kind of sometimes like clipping the right wires to disarm the bomb. And then everyone's like, okay, we can exhale. Oh man, I'm so glad we got through that. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of talent you've seen come back over the years. Like Sami Callihan came back to the Battle Riot as a surprise in 22. You know, after his incident in Milwaukee in 2019. And so, like, I think that's kind of, again, it's like, that's the beauty of wrestling. And I think that is seen in virtually every organization, that there are those that you just can't imagine come back, and then voila, they're back and everyone freaking loves it. When that's the magic of wrestling, you know, to see that happen. And I think it just says a lot about, you know, the culture that, you know, it can get tense. People will take to social media and say some crazy shit, and a lot of it can be valid. But at the same time, to have the ability to both sides say, let's figure this out, because we both know it's going to get a great pop if you come back. And, you know, this, we've seen Tom Lawler come back, Selena come back, Mance come back, and then Hammer at last month. So, yeah, you know, who's and Kojima after 20 years, of course. But
yes.
Definitely a surprise or two left before the end of the year. I'll say that there's some, it is the season of surprises when it comes to that topic in MLW.
So, yeah, I'm going to sort of transition into this very unique situation that we're in pro wrestling now. Now, in addition to One Shot, people that go to the show are going to see a great Fusion taping as well. Fatu, Hammerstone, Matt Justice, Josh Bishop, stuff like that. But on the One Shot show, you've got Kojima wrestling Tom Lawler.
Yeah.
You got Rocky Romero, who is quite frankly the forbidden door in pro wrestling. He makes everything happen. Wrestling Dorada, and then you've got Yamashita against El Miexo. We are seeing such an integration of these companies. And I know you announced this, in conjunction announced with CMLL and New Japan. New Japan also does work with the now TNA. They do work with AEW. AEW in the past or currently still does some stuff with AAA. It is insane how close we are to like this Rubik's Cube being just completely put together. It seems like the only piece is AAA and CMLL just doing the Vince and Bischoff hug on the thing. But like we are this close, I feel like, to seeing some big wrestling non-WWE group hug. And it's getting very close. Like I even looked at a New Japan Strong show from the one from a couple weeks ago, and it had talent from every single company that wasn't WWE. And I was like, well, all you got to do is slap a bunch of logos up there, work out the semantics, and there you go. You've been around a long time. Yeah. How surprised are you to see all this unfold, or are you?
I think most promoters, I think in their eyes, in an idealistic way, they would like to think that's possible. But again, ego finishes, logistics, sensitivities get in the way of those things. I myself really was an isolated organization domestically by design from 2017 to like basically the last few months. Because that's when I started out in wrestling, I was broken by the Samoans. Gary Albright, who was son-in-law of Afa, got me in as I somehow convinced All Japan through Gary to be an American scout for All Japan. I was like a teenager. I don't know how I conned myself into that, but it worked. In any event, I really loved All Japan, and Baba's way was to be an isolated state. He kind of was on an island onto himself, and I thought, well, that's interesting. And the philosophy was, it's All Japan first and foremost in mind, but you don't deal with any of the politics. It's a big drain. It becomes complicated. It's a mistake. So I kind of just practiced that for virtually my whole run as a promoter. And internationally, I had great relationships. We were Dragon Gate, New Japan, NOAH, IWA Puerto Rico, at one point AAA, now CMLL. So like it's always been there, but domestically, I just always stayed isolated. And again, my kind of emerging philosophy is, as changes are in the wind for MLW, and part of that is, I want to change that, because we kind of flirted a little bit with that, thanks to Conrad Thompson and the Ric Flair retirement show in the summer of 22 in Nashville. And you had this kind of very serendipitous thing happen where everyone just kind of came together for a funky Woodstock in Nashville, where it was like Lollapalooza, whatever you want to call it, not to date myself like 30 different ways, but it was cool in that you got to see, TNA versus MLW. You got to see New Japan on the card, Legends on the card, NWA, all these things happening. It was like, and everything was great. It actually was like this accidental guinea pig for what could be. And, it's been floating in my mind ever since, like, why not? And how does that work? And so, as I look into 24, I think there's opportunity there. You need the other side to come to, the table, but the international partners are cool. And I think it's just domestically, can that part of the Rubik's Cube get figured out? And, I'll say from our end, we would welcome those conversations in the event there's interest on the other side. But that I can't read their minds. You don't know what's going on. But I think for fans, they're kind of almost there, but they're getting in at a hyper local level when you see a local independent show and there's guys from MLW, AEW, Impact, and they're kind of wrestling each other, but without like the juice, without the hype, without the connective storylines and stuff that you would get from all the groups just cooperating. And, you know, so I think it's like, it's kind of happening. It's just now you need to streamline that thing and everyone just.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Need to sit in a room and have a few slices of pizza and some beer and figure this out.
I can imagine if that happened, Rocky Romero's unread messages would be at about, you know, in the five digits. That man is sort of the gateway to everyone. It's kind of unreal. And
he's prototype for it. I've known Rocky since, gosh, it's 20 years. He debuted in MLB. W in 2004, January 2004. But he's always been consistent. He's a steady hand at the helm. He's very diplomatic, tactful, but also like he just wants everyone to work together. And, you know, he's a great conduit. Like he's great. And I mean, anyone that has him in their locker room, that is a massive get. When you have him just trying to facilitate things, I mean, it speaks for itself. He is, very instrumental in not just our relationship with New Japan, but the building. And he was really part of the art. He was truly the driving architect in building this strategic alliance with New Japan and CML for MLW. We met in New York in July to kind of figure out how this could look, and it moved very quickly thereafter. But you know, it was his diligence, his opening these doors, and you know, I'm forever grateful for it. And I sense he wants everyone to work together. It's not like he's just, you know, picking sides. That guy just is like, that's what the spirit of wrestling should be, and that's, you know, it's inspiring to me.
Also inspiring to see the progression of Alex Kane, who has become such an integral figure in MLW, and he's a person that I know that very early into his MLW run, you guys had kind of been like, oh, okay, this is somebody who is going to be one of those guys. And that's something you all have been very good at between Hammerstone and Holiday and so many others that you have recognized, Fatu, that you guys have recognized fairly immediately, like, oh, this is going to be a cornerstone of our company. How do you think that he has done in that role? Obviously pleased, or else he wouldn't have the damn title right now facing Matt Cardona on the main event of the show. And will you have water for Matt Cardona backstage?
Oh man, I saw, you know, I was in Midtown New York today, and I was talking wrestling with someone. They brought up the water thing. I went, oh my God, this thing is literally the talk of the streets of New York City. So yeah. One, You know, you go to Costco, you go to Sam's, you get water, man, and it costs a few bucks. You could, you for 80 bucks, man, you could have pallets of freaking water, and it's, you should get it for your talent. But you should also get it for your production crew. Get it for the people selling tickets. Just get that damn water. If you, you know, get some food if you can, or pizzas, man, pizza, you know, get a few pizzas. You get 5, 6 boxes, 8, depending on how many people on your roster and your crew. But feed and try to, you know, keep everyone hydrated. You'll, you know, first of all, their performers are going to go out there and kill themselves. If they're not hydrated, they're going to be dogging it. They're going to, not even if they're just, they're not trying to phone in. They're just going to, you know, if you're in a hot building, even if the AC is pumping or in the cold, man, you're going to burn that. You're going to burn it going through the match. So, I guess it was something that needed to be addressed. So I'm glad it was, but get that water, man. I agree with them too.
Like, if you can't afford water, why are you running a wrestling show?
Yeah. I mean, look, I, for my show, I use that, personally, I get those nasty ass blue Powerades that like piss neon nuclear ugly thing. But that's what, I mean, I need to stay hydrated. I'm not just sitting on my fat ass. So I can't imagine when you go in there, what you need to do. So, you know, get, I know. And look, if they only need a half a bottle, fine. Hey, I just recycle, man, be kind of recycle, be kind of rewind. But, yeah, I mean, that's an important thing. But back to Kane, I knew day one before I signed him. I was like driving. I went crazy. Like, sign him. This guy's going to be it. And when I saw him, I knew it. And so even we tried to make his arrival a big deal when he was a part of the first ever live open draft. And we connected him briefly with America's Top Team, King Mo and Lambert. And then we pivoted to him having his own team that he was a captain of. So we were investing in him, you know, buying the fight team jacket and just creating this whole packaging around him before he even stepped foot in the ring. We're like, well, let's put the machine behind him. And then the cool thing is sometimes you do that and you can tell this is just not working, or the guy is just, this isn't a good fit, you know, in our system for, you know, personality or performance reasons. The great thing is, you know, this dude is a great guy. And so when you see that and then you're putting all your muscle behind it and then he's killing it, it's like, man, you just made my job so easy. And it's so rewarding when you see someone that can emerge as a homegrown guy and just go to the top. That's what we want. You know, we want to invest in these guys, give them a spotlight. And, you know, if they stay here for a long term, great. If they decide at the end of their term to go somewhere else, hopefully now you're worth 6 figures to someone, maybe even higher. You look at MJF, for example. Great, mission accomplished, win-win, you know, that's awesome. For Alex Kane, you know, this run has been great, and I have nothing but positive. He is the locker room leader. He's emerged as the guy that, like, the locker room looks to, and he sets the tone of the locker room, and he holds people accountable in that locker room, and he does it the right way. He does it in the new era, new wave way, which is the right way, not the old school way.
I've loved the roster this year as well. The calling has been just really, really good. Akira sort of breaking out onto his own as well. Ricky Shane Page has long been just one of my favorite people to talk to in wrestling, because I always love when I can talk to somebody and it sort of unlocks things in my brain. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's why that happens. He's a really brilliant guy that I know you guys have also used behind the scenes. How has that been? And, I mean, that those were a few guys that you brought in that obviously paid off very well for you all.
Yeah, Ricky's a really bright guy, and I've been a fan of his for years. And just like, we just gave him a little touch of packaging, rubbed him up against Raven, give him stylized vignettes where we create this kill room, very much inspired by, you know, early days Dexter and some horror movies. And we created this different thing where we call him the Human Slaughterhouse. And we brought in Akira, who, actually, Simon Gotch had suggested back in 2019, so we were keeping tabs on him. He said, this guy's an awesome catch wrestler, but he also does this crazy deathmatch stuff.
He drove to the middle of nowhere, Kentucky, to train with my coaches.
Really? That's awesome. Yeah, great guy. And, you know, then we brought him in, and we told both Ricky and him, this is the idea tonight. You're going to be starting this thing called The Calling. And they were like, what? I'm like, you're going to wear a butcher smock. Ricky, he's like, what the hell's happening? I was like, trust the process. And I say that to everyone. And if you trust the process, and it's a collaborative process, not like me dictating things, if you allow yourself to open up to that, we're going to get somewhere 9 out of 10 times that's awesome. And I might have the wrong idea initially, or they might have the wrong expectation initially, but through the collaborative experience, because it is collaborative, you get to something where the performer feels, this is me, this I can, this is click, and this is great, and I can get where I need to go with the creative end. And they both did. And you know, I look at Akira, and I think he's going to have, like, he's pivoting to a babyface role. He's going to have, in my mind, he's earmarked to have a big 24. Like, that's, he's the breakout guy we're aiming for in 24. And he checks off all the boxes. I mean, he's already super over, and now they get to actually pull from. It's going to be, it's like when Fatu was a heel with Contra, and they were like, Fatu chant. He's like, you know, the de facto baby yes. guy, and we hadn't turned him yet. So once you turn him, it was like, oh, yeah, that was easy. It was the easiest, you know, turn you're ever going to do. But, you know, starting as a baby is very hard. But once they make that switch and they've been a heel, it's just like a fast track to the top.
One of my favorite things about MLW is the Battle Riot, because I'm a dork for Battle Royals, especially that style. And yeah. you guys do really good at, like, putting in surprises, putting in some people that most don't expect to. I mean, even like you mentioned, getting Sami Callihan back in there while
that was fun. Know,
he was under contract to somebody else. Like, you guys make things happen. How far out do you start planning for something like Battle Riot? Or are there things like in December or January where you're like, you know what? I'm gonna keep this in the back of my mind for next summer's Battle Riot.
Well, to be fair, like I in the past, I had put in a lot of work in it, and then you know the lawsuit has definitely taken me away from the time I would put in. I mean, I would say like 85% of my time is dealing with lawyers now, whereas you know a year or two ago that was, you know, 2 years ago it was different. So like my prep for the Battle Riot in, and I don't say that with say poor me or anything, just that's the reality of the world I live in. But you know, I want more time to do that, so I try to find time where I don't know, but like I'm already planning the next Battle Riot. I want more time. I have about 18 to 20 of the participants already in it. I have my guy I want to win it, and I have the concept and theme for it, because every year I like to have a different theme. And you know, it was a privilege to be a part, or I'd even say not be a part, but be in the room as Pat Patterson would construct these initially with Michael Hayes and then Shane McMahon. When I was at WWE, to see, you know, three or so of these things built by the guy that created the original Royal Rumble, and just hear how he goes about the layers and all those nuances that tell multiple stories, that you sprinkle seeds for future issues, and you blow off certain things, and you have your levity, and you have your big dramatic soap operatic moment. The operatic moment that was just this, like a master's class watching Pat do that, and the gusto he would have and pitching it and feeling it, whether it was Mysterio winning it, which was amazing. That was one Dusty and a few of us had the ability to be a part of, which was amazing and contributing to it. But that helped me understand how you do these things. Ours is a little different. There's pinfalls or submissions. There's 40 guys, not 30. But it helped. I mean, I don't think I could do this without having had that exposure to those kind of people, those brilliant minds.
Really love the Battle Riot. It's a must watch for me immediately every year. I'm a big fan of that as well. MLW one shot. Okay. So on this show also, I mentioned Yamashita's on that show as well, like a great get. And we've seen more integration of female talent. Maki Ito is on this show mm-hmm. as well. But it's not just MLW titles. You got titles from overseas being defended on this show. What is the process of like getting that cleared to make sure that can even happen?
You know, it's funny. It's like, I've always had a shorthand, easy kind of engagement with the international organizations, be it Mexico or Japan. So like, Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, super easy, awesome, you know, was easy to kind of get that set up. And New Japan, fantastic, you know, and CML having the double title match, you know, we have like a strategy and a long-term booking plan. So that one was cooked and ready months ago. But, you know, I want the show to kind of be, you know, how you book a show for New York City is different than like the flavors of what you need to book a show like in South Florida. That's a blood and guts, brawling, hardcore vibe. And in New York, it's a different, they want something different on the menu. They want a bit of a different presentation, a little bit of the Japanese style, a little bit of everything. And so, you know, that's what's one of the interesting things about wrestling. The beautiful thing about wrestling is, like, even though it's 2023, going to be soon 24, there's still these interesting things embedded in the regions of wrestling, whether you're in Florida, Philly, New York, or if you go out west, that, you know, you really see that kind of style and what draws bigger crowds. It's always going to be the same thing that scratches their itch that really brings them in. You can change up the presentation, you can change up a lot of things, but those certain qualities, that's what drives those audiences. And, you know, what we would book in New York isn't what we'd necessarily bring to, like, Chicago back in the day.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You've also got, I think they're on these tapings combined, they're like four women's matches on this show. I know Notorious Mimi is involved, who I'm a big fan of. I mean, knew that she was going to be something when she was in NXT, but the Apple TV Plus series with Monster Factory, like, was really, really good as well. So good to see her capitalizing afterwards. What can we look forward to in 2024? Like, is there anybody that you look at and you're like, they're going to ascend? You mentioned Akira earlier.
You know, Jenai Kai is very special.
She looks great. Just
talk about someone that, you know, she should be like, it's a privilege to have her when, you know, I know she's in demand in Japan. She is very unique in her fighting and her presentation. It's so different. And so one of the biggest things is our women's division, like you just said, four matches, and we're going to crank that up in 24. Again, as we kind of expand and change and refresh a lot of the company, both behind the scenes and in front of the fans, you know, I want to continue to build out this division. It started, you know, with one brick, then we add another, and you have this foundation now. Delmi Exo and Taya, when she was here, was a big part of kind of setting that up. And Delmi's going to be a big part of it in the new year too. So, you know, that's something that's really going to be a priority for us. And they've been killing it, whether it's Mimi, Tierra, Delmi, Jenai, just, you know, we're really lucky to have these great performers. And Becca, you know, who, you know, we're looking forward to having back in 24 when she's not under house arrest for recording her latest album. I understand there were some disputes there.
I love Becca. She's wonderful. One of my favorite interviews of 2023 was Becca.
And you know what's great about Becca too is, like, she has a character that it's so easy to know what to do with that. Like, it's she can, when the bell rings, she can go. But, like, the performer and the, like, having those layers to the character. Like, when we did our first live special on Fight Plus, I was like, we need a little something, like, off the beaten path for MLW. I was like, I wonder if she would perform live. And she, you know, some people were like, oh, I don't know about that. She was like, okay, I'm going to get some backup dancers. We had a rehearsal, the Hot Summer Fun thing. Everyone was like humming it backstage. It was the, like, one of the highlights this year for me was that, because it was just like, she rose to the occasion and killed it. And there are people that would have been like, you know, like, oh, I don't think I can do that. And would have, I've seen it. They're like intimidated by it. She's fearless. And what I like about that in a performance, when you're willing to do that and you feel it in your character, the sky's the limit for those kind of people. The people that are scared of it, you know, they're capping themselves.
Another highlight of MLW for me in 2023 is that Shaza McKenzie did not work for you guys. Very happy about that. MLW one shot, December 7th, Queens, New York, at the Melrose Ballroom. It will be on Fight Plus. Court Bauer, tell the people where they can follow, support, anything else about MLW.
You can watch us on Fight Plus tomorrow night, Thursday, one shot. And you can also watch us on cable, BN Sports, Saturday nights. We're on BN Extra, Fridays on Over the Air on TV in San Francisco, Philly, Dallas, major markets, LA on BN Extra, and YouTube as well, worldwide streaming with MLW Fusion. And we're going to have some big things coming up, including a Christmas Eve special with exclusive matches for free. It's called Holiday Rush. It's our first free big special event. And you can watch that live on on cable. On being on Christmas Eve, you can watch it on their Fast channel, and you can watch it on YouTube around the world. So that's going to be a treat with like a pay-per-view quality lineup that you're going to love.
Check it out, guys. MLW. Check out MLW One Shot. Until next time, we're out.